Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome to the live stream of the Concert of Prayer here at Bay Presbyterian Church in Bonita Springs, Florida. I'm glad to have those of you who have joined us by way of internet. We do have a handful of folks here, and for these people, I'm particularly grateful, especially in just a few moments, as you will be hearing from our women's ministry coordinator, Rachel Diller. Also grateful for Gordon Blyke, who's at the piano so very capably, and his wife Carol, who always is here faithfully in support. Also thankful for Carl Hamm, who's making all of this possible back there in Mission Control. We've got equipment back there, not quite enough to launch a space shuttle, but we're close. And my wife Kathy is here too. Otherwise, everyone who is joining us are, like you, joining by way of live stream. And so we want to welcome you. As we proceed through the program, it will be very simple, approximately 30 minutes. Rachel will be coming in just a moment to pray. She will be leading us, and then she will be giving us some more information about the music that will follow that will allow you the opportunity actually to pray there at home, music that will be conducive for that. And then I'll be bringing a brief message at the very end to conclude us. So let's join together as we have this opportunity to seek the Lord together. Even though we may not be one in our geographic location, we are at one in the Spirit, and we give praise to the Lord for his provision for us in Jesus Christ the Lord.
Good evening. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you with heavy hearts. We, the people, love our nation, the nation that you delivered from tyranny and religious persecution. And although we are fully aware that we live in a flawed nation with moral shortcomings, the United States was originally intended to be grounded in and function according to the truth of your word. Dear Father, it is by your grace and power that the United States has become the great and powerful nation it is today. But we have scorned your blessings. And instead of humbling ourselves before you in obedience due to your many kindnesses to us, we have instead become like those described in Romans 1, who chase after self-centered behaviors and personal kingdom building. Lord, we have offended you. Please forgive us. Dear Father, we do feel your heavy hand upon our nation as we are surrounded by unrelenting turbulence that has left many feeling hopeless. There is a sense of dread in the air, a dread that leaves many feeling vulnerable to destruction as we are occupied by a pandemic that is politically, emotionally, financially, and physically destructive. While the West is overcome by fires and the Southwest continues to recover from tropical depressions and hurricanes. But for many, Father, of even greater concern is the social unrest that rages across the nation that in many areas is seemingly left unchecked to the despair of those who have lost companies, livelihoods, a sense of security, and for some, the loss of their loved ones. All this chaos has us wringing our hands in worry as we look forward to an election that has already proved tumultuous, one that threatens our freedoms, securities, and peace. We are a fractured nation, Lord, and are a people who feel like pawns in a chess game. But your word says, Lord, that you are a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And we are in times of trouble. I pray, Father, that we who know you will put our trust in you. For your word says that you will not forsake those who seek you. I pray that we would be like Abraham, whose faith increased as he gave glory to you. I pray that we would give you glory by telling others of your faithfulness and deeds as we sing praises to your name, O Lord, the Lord of heaven and earth. Please have mercy on us, Father. Please strike our nation with a great awakening and our churches with a great revival. I pray, Lord, that you would give us grace as a church, all the Bible-believing churches in the world, to press into you. And I pray that you would hold our hands corporately and individually, because we are incapable of doing this without you. Please give us both the grace and the determination to walk with integrity in your ways, holding forth the light of your word and exhibiting a life set apart for you, offering hope and love, not only in the good times, but in both the uncertain and desperately challenging times. Even in times, Father, when we may fear for our own safety, I pray, Lord, that you would give us courage. And I pray that we would be a people who do not waver, a people who remain steadfastly faithful to your word and to your ways. I pray that we, your children, would act as one body, working together to further build your kingdom in love and the unity that binds us together in Jesus Christ. Dear Father, there may continue to be dark days ahead, but I ask as your children that you would strengthen our hands to be the people you have called us to be, even in the darkness. Lord, your word exhorts us in Galatians with the words, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." That is a promise. We know that although we may not realize the rewards of the harvest in this age, we will in the age to come. I pray that you would give us grace in times of tribulation to be ever mindful of our eternal reward, seeing our tribulations, as Paul did, as light and momentary afflictions that are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I pray, Father, that you would give us grace not to dwell on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I pray, Lord, that even in days of darkness, you would fill our mouths with praise and gladness, as you did for Paul while in prison, as he exhorted his fellow believers to rejoice in you always, in every circumstance, as he did. I pray, Lord, that you will give us grace to be confident in you and the work of Christ on the cross. I pray that we would be anxious for nothing, but would be pray to you, making requests with thankfulness in our hearts, knowing that you will give us the peace that passes understanding, even if our world seems to be falling apart at the seams. I pray that we would know that you are our refuge and strength, that it is you who raises up one kingdom while tearing down another. It is you who sustains our lives, not institutions or governments. It is you who will help us when morning dawns. We may sow in tears, but Lord, we know that one day we will reap with shouts of joy because the day of the Lord is near. Please hear our prayer, Father, and graciously continue to mold us and shape us into the people you have called us to be, in the precious and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, covered us with his blood, and ascended into heaven. Amen and amen. Please worship with us as Gordon plays these hymns, hymn melodies. The words are on the screen for you. And we will be closing out with a piece by Marty Goetz.
used to blaze with delight, but like sparks that rise into the skies, it vanished in the night. Now I long to once again burn for you as I did then, but to even try, there's something I must ask of you. I need you. Since the fire within burned bright and strong, breathe on me, breathe on me like a gentle breeze. Lord, I ask you please to tender. That I've lost my desire. It's just that what once was a fire has dwindled again, and it needs to be kindled again. So breathe on. They could grow into a flame.
And so we think about praying with passion. We've had an example of that this evening as Rachel has beautifully put to words passions of our hearts as we think about our nation's difficulties and where we are at this present hour. But all of us should be passionate about prayer. It's easy to be passionate about things. We can be passionate about ice cream, about shopping, cars, bicycles, working out every day. We can be passionate about television programs, politics, social causes. But is our real passion centered on God? That's why I'd ask those who profess belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you consider at this hour that your life's greatest passion is focused upon Christ and that he has preeminence in all things? That's especially expressed through prayer. Now, the Bible uses the word passion in different contexts, but generally in a negative way. Tonight, we're talking about holy or godly passion. We're not talking about, as is otherwise described in Scripture, ungodly, sinful, sensual, youthful, human, or defiling passion, or passion of the flesh. We're talking about that which is God-centered. As we look in the Bible at Psalm 137, verses 5 through 6, there you can read a man's words who is praying to the Lord with much passion. He says in those verses, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. And if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy." Here's a man who's concerned about the Lord and his kingdom's work as it was centered in Jerusalem in that day. For us, this is an example of someone who recognizes the need for God to have the priority in his life. And he's praying with passion. You can hear almost the emotion in his voice as he pens these words. And then back in Psalm 131, just a few pages back, in verse 1, we read, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me." Here's a man grappling with his lack of passion, knowing that he needs to be looking upward, knowing that his heart should be filled with much when it comes to the things of God. But yet, he recognizes, my heart's not where it needs to be. I'm not looking where I ought to look. So what do you do at a time like that? You express it to the Lord. You make confession of it. This Lord's Day, if all goes according to plan, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper here in this very sanctuary for those who are able to be present. Now, we'll do that appropriately. We'll do it while social distancing and taking precautions that the elements are served without others having touched them in an unsanitary way. But nevertheless, we'll share the Lord's Supper together. One of the important things about that supper is that we come prepared, that we come as those who recognize our sins, that we make confession of those sins. When we've done that which is displeasing in God's sight, what do? We tell him about it. He already knows we've done it, but it's important that we confess and that we acknowledge. And so the psalmist here, seeing a lack of passion in his own heart, acknowledges that before the Lord. And we see that God is passionate. Over in Psalm 135, verse 6, for example, we read, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps." Now, if I were reading that about somebody, that whatever, and fill in the blank with the name of somebody you might know, that if he or she does whatever he or she pleases, that would be one thing. But this is God carrying out what is good and what is right, according to his own holiness and righteousness. And so God, we see, is passionate about his will, as we see that in the person of the Lord Jesus. Down in verses 19 through 21, he says, "O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." How can you do that without passion, without great emotion in the heart? It is something that we ought to consider when we come before the Lord in prayer, lest we fall into the habit of just routinely saying words in some perfunctory manner, like can be done sometimes at the table. You know, and somebody jokingly said one time when it came time for prayer, "Good bread, good meat. Thank you, Lord. Let's eat." Or something like that. No, prayer should be passionate as we give expression, especially when there's great need. We find in the Bible those who have great need were capable of expressing it with great passion. We consider those who came before the Lord, and especially those who cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." When we think of the blind men who knew that Jesus was passing by, they cried out. They didn't just speak out. They cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." A Canaanite woman from a region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David." Do you think she said that passively? Do you think she said that perfunctorily? No, she was in dire need of mercy, and she cried out to the Lord, and so should we. A man came up to him, kneeling before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures, and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." Do you sense the emotion in this man's heart as he comes to the Lord, the only one who has the power and ability to deliver his son from this awful affliction? He comes with passion. As we also see, when they entered a village where he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifting up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And of course we know that he healed them. This is an hour for us to cry out with great passion, asking God to have mercy on us, to have mercy on our land, to have mercy on the church, to grant us grace in this hour, to be the people that he's called us to be. Christians, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the ability in and of ourselves. We're not capable of standing firm upon the truth in this day when the winds are blowing so violently against us. We must have the grace of God. We must have the Spirit of God within us. And so I implore you that together may we, wherever we are, from our hearts and even with our voices, cry out to the Lord with great passion and ask him to accomplish the things that are needed. For surely we need him. There is none else in heaven beside him. And so we cry out together, "Oh God, hear us when we pray, and have mercy, and grant that we, with trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross, which alone is able to satisfy your holy justice, we appeal to you in heaven, O God, to accomplish your will on earth. We don't come, O Lord, crying out for our will to be done in heaven, but your will to be done on earth. O God, come and help us and have mercy and move among us." And may we yet see the light of your word and the gospel spread through the land and around the world, and all of the glory be given to you. Pray with passion. Pray with a knowledge of the Word of God, with Jesus Christ abiding in your heart. And if he's not, here is a time and a moment for you with great passion to acknowledge your sins before the Lord and say to him, "Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life and save me from my sins and deliver me from the wrath to come." And you know what? The Lord Jesus will hear that prayer and answer. You can call to help in a lot of quarters in this day. We live on the information superhighway. But you have the greatest access possible to the most power ever known to human beings or the whole universe in calling out to the Lord for mercy and grace. And I pray you do with passion, asking the Lord Jesus to save you or otherwise enable you to get your life back on track that you might live for him and to save us from this present hour. May God grant it. Heavenly Father, indeed, we commit all to you, praying that you will be merciful and gracious to us in accomplishing your task, your will, here on earth. Lord, we are a people greatly in need. We have sinned grievously against you. We ask you for mercy. We pray for grace. And we pray, O God, for power. Lord, we may be among those who persevere even to the end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude this evening, I just want to thank you again for joining us and reminding you of the opportunity to join by way of live stream at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning or otherwise in person if you're able to be here and call in your reservations, again, that we can properly social distance in this time of pandemic. But may the Lord bless us all to pray with passion in Jesus' name. Thank you.